I'm Max Clark. If you are a Microsoft 365 enterprise, you've heard about Microsoft E5 security. And you're probably looking at it, and you're probably looking at it really seriously. So if you don't know what E5 security is, it is Microsoft's bundle on top of 365 that gives you access to tooling like an EDR, like email filtering, like a SIM platform. So foundational tooling that you need to improve your security posture. So why is this a big deal? Well, first off, it's Microsoft bundling more software together to make the 365 platform more valuable to you. It's also competitive in the sense that pricing for these things are fantastic if you're comparing it against the alternative EDR and SIM platforms. And so now you can get everything in one-stop shop from Microsoft in one platform. So E5 security has been an amazingly disruptive security suite of tools and bundle that we're seeing drastically changing the landscape of managed detection and response vendors and MSSPs to come into the marketplace and serve enterprises. Now, here's the problem, and here's the negative with this, is everybody is now a Microsoft E5 security expert. And when everybody's an expert, how do you tell which ones are? What do I mean by this? It is really easy to become a Microsoft partner or to be an MSP and then claim that you're a security practitioner. What are you going to do? We're E5 security. We know exactly what we're doing. And this is where you run into trouble. Not knowing how to quantify and qualify who you should be doing business with, who you should be paying, who knows what they're talking about, who can actually protect your business, answer the phone call in the middle of the night, etc. So if you're evaluating and looking into and thinking about Microsoft E5 security, and you're already a Microsoft 365 enterprise, you should absolutely be looking at it. But now you need to think about who's going to be configuring it, who's going to be monitoring it, who's going to be managing it, who's going to be accountable to you to make sure that it's working properly, configured properly, and actually you're getting what you're paying for and what you need out of it. We've done a lot of work on this. There is a lot of people, there's a lot of logos, there's a lot of private equity money coming into this and rolling up a lot of different security players and building larger and larger companies. And this isn't bad. It's actually in a lot of ways probably pretty good, because you need a MSSP, you need an MDR company that is operating at scale in order to actually give you what you want at an efficient price point. So great thing about technology is as technology moves forward, it compresses and costs and gives you more value for the same dollar. And the same is true when you start talking about industries that are becoming more competitive or more mature. The old saying of your margins, my opportunity really starts to come into play. So money coming in and acquisitions and mergers and roll-ups are a good thing in this space, because you start talking about the cream rising to the top, people that are efficient and delivering at scale. These are all good decisions for you. So what are some of the questions that we ask and we talk about when we're evaluating new providers for our portfolio, or when we're going through and doing RFIs, RFPs, bake-offs, whatever you want to call it for our clients? First and foremost is describe your team. How many people do you have? Yes. How many people do you have? What are their qualifications? Where are they? How are you organized? What is your HR hiring, training, advancement processes like? And this is also very important. Does the provider have the ability to take and hire new talent? Do they have internship programs? Do they have relationships with universities? Do they have a training program? Can they take somebody in at an entry level and help that person level up inside of that organization and advance their career? These are things that are really valuable, because you want your team. First off, if you've got a lot of churn, it's just really expensive for that company to be constantly hiring and constantly churning and constantly replacing. And oddly, a lot of times, a lot of churn comes from companies that refuse to invest in their people, and that ends up becoming more costly for them. Okay, but let's do that in a different video. So how do they attract? How do they hire? How do they retain? How do they advance, right? So this is a really good question to start with and something we look at very carefully. Then we talk about where are they located? Are you running offices? Are you in the geographies that you need? What kind of time zone coverage do you need? What kind of industry are you in? So for instance, there's certain industries where you have to have U.S. citizens in the United States working on your infrastructure. So if you have those sort of requirements, you can't work with a company that maybe has a SOC in Ireland. It's probably not going to work out for you. So what kind of geographies are they located? Where their teams are located? How much history do they have with the product or with the service? Something that I've done for years now, that we really look at is there an existing price list and SKU list? Companies, so in addition to price list and SKU list, you can ask things like, do you have cut sheets? Do you have marketing slicks? Do you have, what kind of assets and collateral do you have? A company that has taken the time to actually productize a pricing calculator, a SKU list, a cut sheet, a price list, a marketing collateral, this is usually indications that service is mature for them. It takes a lot of energy to actually produce those things. So when I find providers that are saying that they offer a service and you're getting information or you're getting a quote that's being put together by hand in Microsoft Word, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a data point. And it's a data point that you need to pay attention to and think about when you're stacking that provider up against competitors. What else do we want to know? We want to know what kind of support process they are. You hear lots of things about like, oh, we run a pod-based architecture. Like, okay, great. Well, how does that actually help? Is that good? Is that bad? What's your incident response process? In the security world specifically, it's like, okay, are you here just to manage the tools or are you here to do incident response remediation? What does the client's team need to do? What do you do for the client's team? How much is automatic? How much isn't automatic? There's a big gap a lot of times with enterprises that think that their security vendor is just going to take care of things for them. And the security vendor's like, no, we just tell you when stuff is happening and then you have to take care of it. We're not here to actually do that. We can't. We're legally not, we're not allowed to based on our contract, right? So understanding what the lines are between your teams and the provider's teams, very important to define. Let's see what else. Do they have referenceable customers? Right? Like that's a basic one, but let's talk about that for a second. It never ceases to surprise me. And my headset's falling off here. So let me take a quick second and fix this here. Oh, way better. Okay. Do they have referenceable customers and will those customers actually like talk to you? Right. Again, if you've got a mature practice area and you can't get three companies to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm willing to talk about you and that you're a good partner for us to work with, that's a pretty big warning sign. How do you separate your pre-sales to implementation, to engineering, to change management, to actual operations, your SOC? Like, what's your process? What kind of process are you getting into? How do you make changes? How do you grow? How do you contract? These are things that you want to know. And the point with all this is every Microsoft adjacent enterprise service provider, telco, network services provider, data center, colocation, cloud company, managed services provider, IT consultant, wiring company, et cetera, is going to be advertising services related to cybersecurity because, of course, there's a lot of revenue there and it's sexy. And there is an absolute value with having a single vendor involved in single invoicing. It is great when you can take and leverage an existing contract and add services onto it, especially if that service provider can deliver it for you. The scary thing for me in my position is when we see companies making these decisions and you start digging into the service provider a little bit and you find out like, hey, there's only 9 people here on the security team. And you're like, okay, well, wait a minute, there's 9 of you? How are you going to manage a 24/7 incident response like capability? I mean, the answer is they can't. There's not enough people there. What they have to do is they have to go to some sort of pager-based deal. And the issue with that becomes, let's just say 500. We'll just use 500. You're a 500-person business. In a lot of cases, that puts you... Some people will call you a SMB still. Some people will call you small enterprise. But let's just say it's a 500-person business. If you have a cyber event with a 500-person business, you're talking about a lot of devices and a lot of data and a lot of information that has to be looked at, analyzed, evaluated. A decision has to be generated around it. So while all that's going on, now you also have to have a communication cycle, right? There has to be communication between the enterprise and the service provider that's managing and running that incident. So now what's the communication line? I mean, if you've called into something that's fired off a pager duty and somebody's been woken up 3 o'clock in the morning and they're the one running the incident for you, they're trying to dig through SIM data and EDR data and figure out like what's necrotic in your infrastructure and needs to be cut off and what's okay. That person isn't necessarily the person you want to be like talking to and trying to get updates. So for you to communicate with your peers, your team, your boss, your ownership, whatever that looks like on your side, because there just isn't anybody to talk to, right? So that's the evils on the very small side. Now on the very large side, you run the risk of falling into the bureaucracies where you just get lost. And that's not great either. There is this thing of understanding what you're looking for can they deliver, when you're picking a service provider, can they give you what you need and what you actually are paying for or not? And what are the trade-offs that you're making? Are those trade-offs, do those trade-offs work for you or not? Last thought here before I go. Last thing that I really look for in service providers as we're doing this with our clients is, can they grow with a client or not? And very common in cybersecurity, it starts with a tool and a tool deployment. Maybe it's just, hey, we got to get our EDR deployed. We haven't been successful getting this thing rolled out. Or maybe that unwinds a little bit too. We're trying to get our MDM working properly. If you start with that and you say, okay, great. Now we want to integrate an EDR, MDM, and then we're going to do an EDR. And then usually if it's IAM and single sign-on and multi-factor authentication, kind of all like in that looping. And then a couple months later, you come back and you say, okay, great. Now we want to do network-based sniffers. We need to do pen testing. We want to do asset vulnerability management. We need to do patch management. We want to do secure email gateway. We want to do DLP or CASB, or we need to have a secure web gateway, or we need to have auditable remote access. I mean, there's a lot of different acronyms and solution sets within this like cyber domain. You want to get a response out of that vendor that you've selected, that provider that you've selected, of like, yeah, absolutely, we can take care of that and we can help you with this. It's really aggravating when you come back to a provider and you say, hey, we want to do this. And they say, okay, no, we can't do it. Or we can do this, but we've partnered with this crazy cockamamie company that you've ever heard of to deliver this functionality because we got a good resell rate on it. And it's those conversations that 14, 16, 18 months down the road, when you're looking at that kind of expansion, that also become really aggravating if you didn't plan for it up in advance. And the scary thing about it is people doing this for the first time and buying this kind of service for the first time, if you don't know the roadmap and you don't know where you're going, I mean, like, it's like, okay, we're at zero and like, we're just getting off the starting line. And you're like, okay, great. We need to solve these problems right now. But now you've got to figure out, like, there's a lot of steps involved. It's your early innings on this thing. We'll use a baseball analogy. If you're solving a problem in inning one, if you've got eight more innings of baseball to go that you've got to be ready for, and maybe you're going to cobble this together with different providers, and maybe you're looking for a single provider that can grow with you and do it all for you at the same time. So I'm worried for, and I'm very cautious with people that are in market signing contracts with a company that they think has a deep bench of expertise that can support them and can offer configuration management and assistance and yada, 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 especially in the Microsoft E5 security world. And then they find out they just can't. I'm Max Clark. I hope this helps. If you have any questions, drop me a comment, send me a message, and we'll help more if we can.